Would you all please pray with me, please? God, thank you for a day to look into your word, to think about all the nahs that we give you, all the times we tell you no, all the times we think we know better than you, and we place ourselves in the center instead of you. Lord, through this moment in time, change our hearts. Forgive us, renew us, and set your spirit at work in us to give us new hearts, to change us all over again. We pray this in your name. Amen. Charles Dickens wrote many, many books, but I do think he wrote, I don't know if it was a book or it was just an article called, is it A Modest Proposal? Am I thinking of what that is? So there is a great problem in England at the time, from the time Dickens was a boy, even to when he was an author. And there were so many orphans, so many struggles with just so many children and not enough parents. The orphanages were overrun. It was just a really bad situation. And so his proposal was to eat children, right? Has anybody read this? Right? Okay, thank you, Sam. I see you out there. It's A Modest Proposal, right? Isn't that the name of it? Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Oh, Jonathan Swift. So sorry. Wrong attribution. Thank you. Thank you. Got a reader in our midst. Thank you. So anyway, similar scenario. Only the author has changed, but the point is the same. And I mentioned that level of satire because of what the author of Jonah is up to, right? As you read through the four chapters of Jonah, right? Now, it's very different than all the other books of prophecy. All the other prophets you read about in the Old Testament all talk about the word they're delivering to Israel who's in rebellion and God trying to call his people back, and they won't listen. Jonah is the only one that is about that prophet, right? And how far he is rebelling against God and what God does to restore him and to bring him back. Now, it is also about the message he brings to Nineveh. And if you were with us last week, maybe as a bit of a pop quiz, how many words, how long is Jonah's sermon? This is a hint. Five Hebrew words long. It is not long at all. Right, but Jonah, he goes and proclaims it, right? And then he goes outside the city to watch what God's going to do, right? Now, he suspects God's going to forgive him because that's what God does, right? He knows, you can just hear it in how chapter 4 was written. I knew you would do this, God. This is why I went to Tarshish, right? Not because I was afraid, not because of anything else. Is precisely because I believe you are who you say you are, and I don't want you to do that to my enemies, right? And this kind of takes us back to the beginning, right? Jonah was not completely unjustified in loathing the Assyrians in Nineveh, right? They're the ones that invaded his country. They're the ones that attacked God's people and pillaged God's people and violated God's people, right? And took away his friends and his family and his countrymen to be slaves, or to not be home. He carted them away. So I think in our modern understanding, we would have some sympathies for Jonah. Now, we don't want God to forgive the enemies that do these terrible things. We want him to stop them, right? That's not what God does. And so through what Jonah experiences, we get a glimpse at the depth of the love of God for sinners who are enemies of God and the sinner who knows better in Jonah. So there are three things I want to focus on today as we go through this word from God in chapter 4. That God endures, that God provides, and God sends. God endures, God provides, and God sends. So as we think about how God endures, right? And this is going through the whole story of Jonah, but a little bit of like the people Jonah came from, right? The people of Israel. He's a prophet to the king of Israel. Didn't really do a good job at that either. But this is to the Israel that's after King David, after King Solomon. So the kingdom's divided. The kingdom's, and especially Israel itself, is in rebellion. And God sends prophets to try and call them back. And Jonah doesn't do a great job there. But God endures. God endures the sin of his people. God endures the rebellion of his people. And all that, there are hundreds and hundreds of false prophets, all saying they speak in the name of God, but they don't. There's typically only one in each story that's mentioned, only one prophet that is speaking the word of God faithfully. And so in the face of all those hundreds, there's one man, one person, one prophet speaking God's word, and through that prophet, God's word endures. God endures. And God endures the sin of rebellion and faithlessness because God's love endures. You think about everything that God, if you know the stories of Scripture, and maybe you don't, and that's all right. We'd love for you to get to know them as you need, as you're able to. But if you know the stories of Scripture from the time the world began until this point, the story of Jonah, think about everything that God has had to endure, not just from his people, but from everyone whom he's made. All the sin, all the rebellion, all the faithlessness, all the violence. This is post-flood, right? This is post-Exodus. There's been so much that God has endured from the people he made. And yet, his love never fails. His love endures forever. There's a psalm, right, where that is the repeating refrain. After every line, after everything that psalm is written, it echoes the truth, the reality that God's love endures forever in all things. And so if God has enduring love for Israel, God has enduring love for their enemies, who he also made, if God has enduring love for Jonah, perhaps, maybe that makes it a little bit easier to believe that God has enduring love for you. Think about everything you have had to endure in your life, however long or short you feel it is today. What all of you had to endure. God's love endures right there with you, through loss and heartache, through joy and celebration. We had a little bit of that today. A little bit of that yesterday. My middle daughter, Ava, some of you may know, it was her confirmation day yesterday. And she's hiding now because she doesn't like attention. So just keep your eyes up here. But it, as for her mom and I, and for our family, and for our extended family and friends, and for Ava too, it was a beautiful moment of God bringing about what we hoped he would do and what he promised he would do from the day she was baptized until now and now and beyond. Because God is faithful. God is faithful in our lives. God is faithful in your life. And there is joy. There was heartache and loss earlier, and God has seen us through that, and he gives us this moment of celebration too. So as the love of God endures through loss and heartache and leads us to moments of celebration, we see that God provides. God provides. So as God provides in chapter 4 here, what do we see? We see grace for Nineveh, grace for a city. And God, the threat and the warning from Jonah, you know, yet 40 days and God will overthrow or overturn this city, right? That was the judgment call. And because of that word of God that the people heard, God didn't overturn the city, right? He changed the hearts of the people and maybe even the cows of the city, right? And that's what's so strange about, and why there's just all this ridiculous opposites in Jonah, right? At every turn in the story, there's a group of people who are outside the people of God, and there's no reason they should know God, but yet through Jonah, they end up believing. And they're more faithful than Jonah is. And not just the people who are far from God that are brought near, but then the creatures, the fish, apparently the cattle, and then we see the worm and the plant and the wind, all of them are set to work by God's command, what God appointed, and they are faithful when Jonah is not. Jonah is the only one. And so I hope you get that sense in this story that of every character and person and creature in this story, Jonah is the only one that struggles here. And so what does God provide for Jonah then? He provides life for Jonah. Twice, right? In the belly of the fish, and a new chance to continue on and at the second time God called him with the very same call, using the very same words. And as Jonah waits for judgment to rain down upon his enemies from the sky, God instead provides Jonah. He protects Jonah's life with a plant, right? And then he gives Jonah a question. God provides a question, right? He provided a word to the city that overturned it, overturned their hearts. Their hearts were overturned to Yahweh. God provides a question to Jonah in an attempt to overturn his heart. Now, Jonah ends without that question being answered, right? And so the question is to you, as we live in a culture that, as it seems, becomes increasingly estranged from what we value. And I'm not talking political distinctions here, right? There need to be spaces for liberals and conservatives and every other part of the spectrum in God's house. But when it comes to what we believe and who God is and how he calls us to live, some might argue pretty well that it's becoming increasingly more difficult. And it may be easier to have the heart of Jonah in this case, to wish God to stop our enemies instead of save them. Especially when you've been hurt, when you've experienced loss, when you've experienced violation from that culture. And so God's question to Jonah is a cue to him and to you to reset and to reform, for God to reform your heart. Which may seem impossible to you if your heart's in about 1,000 pieces this morning. But there's only one person who can bring that all back together, and that is Jesus. And there's an interesting note from Tim Keller here, who wrote a book called The Prodigal Prophet. It's about the story of Jonah. And he ends the book with these thoughts. I want to share them with you here. We can get them on the screen. How do we know Jonah was so recalcitrant, defiant, and clueless? How do we know that he made that unbelievable speech, that I hate the God of love speech, right? How do we know he said that? How do we know about his prayer inside the fish? Right? The only way we could possibly know these things is if Jonah told others. What kind of a man would let the world see what a fool he was? Only someone who would become joyfully secure in God's love. Only someone who believed that he was simultaneously sinful, but completely accepted. In short, someone who has found in the gospel of grace the very power of God. If it can change Jonah, it can change anyone. It can change you. This is a word that restores. So, as you think about the story of Jonah, what's one thing you want to walk away with today? As we wrap up our time together, what's one thing? I've got one more point to do briefly, but what's one thing you want to walk away taking with you from the story of Jonah today. Take about 5 seconds, try to formulate a thought, quick as you can, and take about 10 to 20 seconds to share that with the person next to you, all right? So, what do you want to take away from the story of Jonah today? All right. If you're like me, perhaps you need to write that down because you know you'll forget otherwise. So you can do that as we get to our last point, because I'll have another question at the end of that for you too. So lastly, so God endures, God provides, God sends. God sends people to bring his word. God sends his creation to reveal his work, right? We see God sending Jonah to bring his word to a city. We see God sending his fish and his plant and his worm and his wind, all to help Jonah understand exactly the God of love he is dealing with. God sends you as his creation, one of his people, into this world to be a real messenger, to share a real story with a real person in a real world. So as you think about the tangible things that you are a real child of God in this place with a real word from God that he is calling, he's sending you to give to a real person that is living in this real world with you. What is your next step? What step are you on in your relationships with neighbors or with this neighborhood, with Ann Arbor? Is it a person or a group of people you've been connecting with, somebody at work? And this is the beautiful thing, right? This is the beautiful thing about us being missionaries, of being witnesses of God. You are going to be in so many other parts and places and spaces that I would never have access to. And that's why God is equipping each of us with his gospel. He's sending each of us with his word. So is today the day you're thinking you're able to share something about Jesus, finally? Or maybe you've shared already and you've seen how that's gone and you need to wait just a minute. You need to nurture that relationship more and invite them again. Or is today the day you just continue the conversation? You're building up to that point where you can share who you are and share your story of faith, share God's story at work in you. Or is today the day you start the conversation with someone? Somebody you've seen, you're just like, you know, they're in my life on a regular basis. I should go say hi. And today's the day you can start that. Or is today the day you begin to identify the people in your life that God, to whom God is sending you? And so, in addition to this thing you want to take away from the story of Jonah, who is one person you can share that with at some point? Maybe today's that day. Maybe it's a day that's ahead. But underneath your note on what you want to take away from the story of Jonah, write down the name of a person God is placing on your heart right now. Maybe it's a child, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's somebody you are going to introduce yourself to today or this week. God sent Jonah. And through Jonah, through God's word, God changed the heart of a city. He changed the heart of a king. He changed the fate of many cattle. But God sends you to the heart of this city. God sends you to the heart of your neighborhood. And God sends you that the enduring love that changed your heart will change theirs. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for all the different ways you make your word known to us, the ways you make your love known to us. through word and story, through poetry, through song, through letters, through narrative, even through satire. God, thank you for what you show us in just some of the ridiculous ways we resist you. But Lord, thank you for even for showing us that even when we're being ridiculous, you are being faithful. And you will be with us. Forgive us for the ways we have resisted you, that we've turned away from you. Reset our hearts with your love, your story, and the legacy of Jonah to take the next step. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.